to Psy.
Spend the day with Psy.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Psy Thursday Live.
Radio Psy Thursday Live.
Dear listeners, loving Psyrams and greetings from Prashant Nilaya, the spiritual capital of the entire universe. A warm welcome to all of you for today's Thursday Live. This is the segment Seva and Sadhana, and I'm Raghu from Team Radio Psy, and also, as always, joining me is Brother Ganesh. Sairam Ganesh, greetings.
Sairam Raghu, Sairam the listeners.
So, dear listeners, the time right now in our studio is 11:30 a.m. Indian Standard Time, Prashant Nilayam Standard Time, and the weather here at Prashant Nilayam Ashram is very pleasant. In fact, from past couple of days, it's cloudy and the climate is very nice and cool. Today is 30th of June 2016. Well, 30th of June, that means the half of the year 2016 is over, right, Ganesh?
Time just flies, Raghu.
Yeah. So tomorrow we step into the second half of the year.
Yes, very much.
July. Okay, so at the very outset, let us all, dear listeners and Ganesh, let's all collectively offer our most humble, grateful, prayerful pranams at the voice and the listener of Radio Psy Global Harmony, Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. So dear listeners, if you are there with us from past couple of weeks, we are talking on the subject that is the eight flowers that should be offered at the lotus feet of our Lord. And these eight flowers are Ahimsa, non-violence, Indriya Nigraham, control of senses, Daya, compassion, and fourth is Kshama, forbearance. Fifth flower is Shanti, peace. Sixth happens to be penance,
tapas.
Seventh is Dhyana, meditation. And the last flower, eighth flower,
Satyam.
Is Satyam, truth. So, last week we started discussing on the fifth flower, that is Shanti, peace. And we couldn't complete talking on that topic. And today we continue from last week. So Ganesh, let's have a quick recap of last week's discussion.
Yes, so we had heard Swami telling about how we can attain peace.
Yeah, in the beginning we played a short clip.
And in that Swami gives us a very beautiful formula of how we can attain peace. Means Swami told, people come and ask me, I want peace, I want peace, I want peace. Then Swami gives a very easy and simple formula. Remove the I and remove the want.
Yeah.
And you obviously get peace. What remains will be peace. So, in the process, we had discussed about how do we remove the want.
Yeah, I is ego, want is desire. So, last week we extensively covered on how to remove the want, that is desires.
Hmm.
In fact, we also spoke that there are three ways to remove the want.
Yes, one is the contentment, how satisfied you are with what you have. And next one is how not to be greedy, because that disturbs your mental tranquility and peace. And the other aspect which we spoke about is the ceiling on desires.
Yeah.
How you should not destroy the desires, remove desires, but direct it in a good way and have a control over that.
In fact, talking about not being greedy, last week I just missed telling one nice analogy that Swami himself had given.
Yes.
About how in olden times they used to catch monkey in a forest.
Mm.
So what the villagers used to do is they used to fill a pot with peanuts, which monkeys like generally.
Mm.
And they used to make sure that the pot has got a narrow neck.
Okay.
So that the monkey can put its hand inside the pot easily, but
removing it is difficult.
But what happens is, why removing it becomes difficult is the monkey, out of its greediness, takes all the peanuts that is there in the inside the pot, and so it will make a fist. And since it makes a fist,
it blocks out of its way
from its hand. It can't take it out because the fist will be bigger.
Mm.
In fact, Swami says that three beautiful lessons we can learn from this, which is the cause for losing our peace of mind.
Mm.
First is the delusion.
Okay.
See, what happens is monkey won't be able to take its hand out of the pot.
Okay.
So monkey gets deluded that somebody is holding its hand.
Yes. Yes.
So even in...
And it gets panicked.
Yeah.
Mm.
Even in life, that's what happens.
Mm.
We get deluded in life because of these worldly possessions, name and fame and wealth.
Mm.
And we get deluded from our vision of our ultimate goal in life.
Correct.
That is to reach God.
Mm.
And second lesson that we learn is getting attached.
Mm.
The monkey is attached to the peanuts.
Okay.
Actually, the monkey can run away. It can just leave all the peanuts and just run away.
It can actually take only one and go.
Yeah. In fact, that is the third lesson that we learn. That is, the monkey is greedy about it.
Mm.
Even greed also disturbs our peace of mind.
Mm.
Monkey, as you said, if monkey had taken 10 peanuts, it can just get satisfied with 5 peanuts,
yes,
because of which the fist will become smaller and it can run away.
Yes.
Or if the monkey uses its mind, actually it can take 5 peanuts twice.
Okay.
And run away. So this is something beautiful lesson that we learn from this analogy.
Actually, when you are telling about this concept of monkey, I'm just reminded of one more incident which we have spoken in the last session about one of the students. When Swami asked him, what is your problem, then he telling about the troubles of his mind, and Swami asked him to give his mind to him, and he will be the dhobi to clean the mind and give it back.
Yeah.
And mind is so very pure and serene. We are only the ones who disturb it with lot of thoughts and desires.
Cool.
So in this context, just reminded of the monkey, where in Trai once it happened that there were a lot of monkeys. Swami came out of his residence with a fistful of peanuts.
Okay.
And then what happened? To everybody's astonishment, there were monkey boys around Trai. They used to hold sticks and shoo away the monkeys. That was their duty.
So they were called monkey boys.
Monkey boys.
Okay.
Swami used to be very fond of them.
Mm.
So then, to their utter astonishment, Swami stood right in front of the gate, and all the group of monkeys, they were coming in. Swami just looked at those group of monkeys which were there on the tree.
Okay.
And he just did something.
Okay.
And then each monkey, all the monkeys came in a line.
Oh, is it? Wow.
They came one by one. Swami stretched out his palm, and which was full of peanuts. Each monkey took only one peanut at a time, and it went back.
My God, really?
Yes.
Oh.
So imagine if we consider the mind as a monkey, if we offer it to God, when God is in front of us, He will, even when He shows a lot of worldly things as a master to teach us a lesson, if we keep only Swami in mind, then slowly we go and pick up only what we want.
Yes.
What is required. Yeah, we won't be greedy.
In fact, Swami Himself has told, I have come down to earth to give you something which is very big.
Yes.
But you are not yet ready, and you still ask for small...
Pretty things.
Yeah, pretty tinsels and trinkets.
Mm.
But I satisfy you by giving those things what you ask, so that in future I expect you...
You ask for what I have come to give you.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes.
Okay, Ganesh, so today... So, as we spoke last week, we extensively spoke on removing the want from the line sentence, I want peace.
Yes.
So, today let's speak on removing the I.
Yeah.
That is ego.
Yeah, to see, it's just a single letter word, I, but the removal of that is the biggest challenge in one's life.
Correct. In fact, even in other religions also, if you take, for example, Christianity, the cross itself symbolizes...
Mm.
The removal of I, right?
Yes.
Cut the I.
Cut the I.
Even if we take the name Puttaparthi, if we just split it.
Put apart I.
Yeah.
Swami gives a pun for the word Puttaparthi.
Yeah.
Raghu, today we shall start to try to understand a little more about how we can remove the concept of, remove the ego in us.
Yes.
Okay, as a prelude to what we are going to do, I just want to delve a little more on what Swami told about this removal of ego. In one of the discourses, Swami had given a beautiful analogy about breaking a coconut and destroying the ego.
Okay.
It's a very apt example, because very regularly we keep seeing this act of breaking a coconut. Then as soon as you pluck the entire coconut from the tree, you cannot break it, because there is a lot of shell over it and then the fiber in it.
Mm-hmm.
So what Swami tells is, you should first remove the top shell and then remove the fiber, and then only you can see the coconut. Then you have to break it into two. So Swami compares it to, this is the symbol for destroying the ego and surrendering to the Lord. So what we have to do, remove the fiber of desire for sense objects, and then go before the Lord, which is devoid of kama and krodha, desire and greed and anger.
Anger, yeah.
And then you declare that you are egoless by breaking the coconut into two. And then only God will accept you as His. So that is the prelude. And then Swami adds a very beautiful statement to that. See, the conquest of the ego, means cutting the ego, is a very, very hard task, because it takes years of persistent effort to curb your ego. He tells, see, you keep studying day and night to pass a university examination. How much more struggle you have to put in to destroy the ego. Nevertheless, Swami tells, put a step forward.
Yeah.
There is always a beginning.
In fact, Swami very beautifully took the example of coconut.
Hmm.
He didn't take the example of any other fruit.
Yes.
Because to break a coconut is very difficult.
Very difficult.
To take the shell and also to cut it open. But what we get from that is the natural water, which is very good for...
Yes, yes.
Even Swami has told about the fruit orange.
Okay.
Swami says, not only fruit orange, but other fruits also. The inside there will be sweetness, but it will be covered by a rind which is very bitter.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So this bitterness is our problems and our bad thoughts in life that we have. So to get the sweetness which is within us, we have to overcome all these bad thoughts.
Yes.
And even the problems that we face in life, which will make us strong to experience the sweetness inside.
Yes.
And also, if we see the word ego, in Sanskrit it means ahamkaram.
Yes, ahamkara.
So if we split the word ahamkar, it means aham and akara. So aham is I, akara is body.
Body.
So ego is loosely can be loosely said as I am the body.
Yes.
It is
yes.
The body attachment.
Attachment.
So we should come out of this dehabhimanam or body attachment.
But Raghu, I always had this question. Why exactly do we get this ahankara? Can you please tell?
As Swami says, it's mainly because of this body attachment.
Okay.
And
so when you feel superior to someone, or in what cases do we feel this ahankara?
So the one of the expression of ahankara is mamakara, that is pride.
Yes.
So in that what happens is we feel superior to others, as you said. So when, in what occasion we feel superior? It's because some may possess extreme wealth, some may be very rich, or some may possess lot of name and fame, like these superstars in movies or cricketers. So in such cases, we develop that superiority complex. We treat others as low.
Low, yeah.
So that is one of the form of ego, which is not at all good.
Yeah.
Because in because all this stardom and superiority complex, it doesn't last long.
Yes.
Everything is temporary. So one day, even if somebody is very rich, he will come down, and who is very poor also has got chance to come
up. This thing is, when you are on top, you should not be ecstatic that you are on top.
Yeah.
And when you lose that, you should not feel depressed that you have lost it. Rather, you should maintain a balance of your mind to be peaceful.
Yeah, which actually there is the concept of equanimous, right?
Equanimity, yes.
It said, sukha dukkha
samikritva, labho labho jaya jaya. As you are talking about this Bhagavad Gita also, I am reminded of a very beautiful incident that Swami very beautifully narrates about Krishna and Arjuna. One night after the war, Krishna and Arjuna return to their shibiram. And then Krishna asks Arjuna, you get down the chariot first. But being the king, he cannot get down because he feels that he is superior to Krishna.
Yeah, Krishna acts the role of charioteer.
See the ignorance that envelops a man's mind. Because after giving the entire Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna and telling him that...
And showing him the Vishwarupam.
Vishwarupam also. Still he is under the ignorance that he is the one who is fighting the battle.
Mm.
And he is superior to a charioteer who is driving his chariot.
Yeah.
And Arjuna refuses to get down the chariot before Krishna. He asks, see, you are a charioteer, how can I get down? You get down first. Then upon a lot of persistence... Arjuna very reluctantly gets down the chariot. And then as soon as Arjuna gets down, Krishna just jumps from the chariot. And then the chariot is just set to fire. Then Arjuna wonders, oh, Krishna has saved me. And then he asks Krishna, Krishna, how did this happen? And Krishna explains to him, see, till now, when I was in front of you, I protected you from getting hurt or getting destroyed from the arrows of Bhishma, Drona and all of them,
yes,
which are very, very powerful astras. Had I got down before you, you would have faced the all the wrath of that astras.
As soon as Krishna would have got down, the chariot would have
burned
into flames.
Got burned.
Arjuna also would
Arjuna
have,
would have lost his life.
Hmm.
So, see, because of the ego that Arjuna had, He had a feeling that Krishna is a charioteer and he is the one who is fighting the battle.
So even in life also, it's a divine script that God has already written in our life.
Yes.
And he is the doer always.
Mm.
We should just act our role.
Mm.
Just like how in a movie the actors just act.
Mm.
It's the script is written by the director.
Yes.
It's all directed. The movie is directed. The actors just has to render their dialogues without having the feeling that they are doing it.
Mm.
It's already the director who has done it.
Mm. Even when we take the example of Bali.
Yeah, even in the Kerala, the Malayalis, they celebrate the festival of Onam.
Mm.
That is the victory of Bali Chakravarti.
Mm.
So Bali Chakravarti is the grandson of Prahlada.
Mm.
So even though Prahlada was born in a demon clan and Bali also is a demon, but they are very virtuous and very good.
Mm.
Even though they are Rakshasas, they are good.
Mm.
And they always did good for the people and prospered the kingdom.
Mm.
But in case of Bali Chakravarti, he had the feeling of doership.
Yes.
That slight ego was there in his mind.
Mm. He was doing a lot of yajnas. He had actually conducted 108 yajnas.
Mm.
And he was with a pride that he had attained so many, he could finish so many yajnas.
Yeah, and he was called the Chakravarti, Bali Chakravarti. So, but God didn't like that small speck of ego that he had, even though he was doing a lot of good to the people.
Yes.
Selflessly.
Mm.
So to take off the ego, God had to incarnate as in the form of Vamana.
Mm.
And we all know the story. He asked for 3 footsteps of land from Bali Chakravarti, and Bali immediately agreed.
Mm.
He thought, oh, what, 3 footsteps is nothing for
nothing.
Me. But his guru, Shukracharya, he warned him. See, this is God himself who has come.
Mm.
See, here comes one beautiful analogy. See, it is for every human, it is mother who shows father.
Father.
And father shows
God.
Guru. And guru shows
God.
God. See, here Shukracharya, he told Bali, see, it is God himself, to be careful.
Mm.
But Bali Chakravarti didn't. He told, I have given a word, so I have to give him.
Mm.
And Vamana immediately takes Vishwarupam, and he, with his 3 footsteps, he
covers the entire entire universe he covers.
Actually, with two footsteps he covers everything.
Mm.
And he won't have a place to put his third footstep.
Mm.
So, Pali will surrender, take his crown and he will say, "Oh Lord, put your footstep on my head," which is the ego.
Mm.
And that's how Lord vanquishes Pali's ego.
Mm. So the one is the this ahankara comes because of a feeling of superiority complex. You feel more than the others. And the second aspect also, which the other aspect which comes into picture, is the attachment. So yeah. can we talk more about that, Raghu?
In fact, Ganesh, just before talking about attachment, I just forgot about that. See, even when we are with Swami will make us feel egoistic sometimes, right?
Yeah.
He will create a drama where he will make the devotees or even the students feel egoistic about something, and then he will puncture the ego itself.
Yes.
So I would like to just, before we go to the next point, I would like to share an experience, beautiful experience.
Mm.
Which one student had. It seems once Swami gave a discourse, and after the discourse, generally we know Swami sings the bhajans, either very commonly he sings the bhajans, Prema Modita Man Se Kaho or Hari Bhajan Bina Sukha Shanti Nahi. So on that day Swami sang the bhajan Hari Bhajan Bina Sukha Shanti Nahi after his discourse. And we know the bhajan is very long, there are so many lines in that bhajan, and Swami was singing, and apparently it happened that at one point, it looked as if Swami forgot the next line of the bhajan.
Okay.
So Swami sang one line and boys were singing, devotees were singing chorus, and again Swami sang the same line. So it looked as if Swami forgot the next line, and Swami looked at one boy in the front who was a very good bhajan singer, and Swami just indicated as if prompt me the next line. And that boy also, in the beginning he didn't understand what's happening, but later he understood that Swami is telling him to prompt. So he just mouthed the next line. Okay, he prompted. Then Swami got the next line and he continued the bhajan. And so the session was over. Swami sat down and Swami again looked at this boy and smiled as if acknowledging him, you know.
Okay.
So his boy was very happy. Wow.
Today I helped Swami to finish the bhajan.
It's generally Swami who rescues devotees from problems, but today I did it. And to add to this, next day, I think it was during the time of Dasara, and Swami was giving discourse every day. So next day, the same episode repeated.
Okay.
Swami gave discourse, Swami sang the same bhajan, Hari Bhajan, Sukh Chandani. Swami forgot a line, acted as he forgot a line. And Swami looked at the same boy. And he most prompted the next line, and Swami said, smiled at him.
And again, continued the bhajan.
Yeah. So again, the pride in him increased. And believe it or not, it happened for the third time.
Oh my God.
Same episode. And now this boy was in full different world.
The puncture is going to be big now. Okay.
Yeah, he used to walk with the different air, okay, after this incident. Now maybe after a week or two later, one evening, and those days, bhajans used to happen inside bhajan hall. So just, and this boy, he was a very good bhajan singer, Prashanti bhajan singer, he was in that group. And Swami came out of the interview room. It was time for bhajans, just about 10 minutes were left. And Swami came to this boy and Swami asked, "Okay, so which bhajan are you going to sing today?" Then he confidently told Swami, "Sesha Shaila Vasa Narayana."
Okay.
Then Swami told, "Oh, is it? So how does that bhajan go? You hum that bhajan something." Then this boy confidently was about to tell the tune of the bhajan, and he started blinking.
Okay.
Then Swami said, "Oh, what happened? Tell. Then he just forgot the bhajan. Even the lyrics of the bhajan he forgot.
Okay.
He was just looking at Swami blank. Then Swami told, "Oh, what happened? Okay, leave it. Which bhajan you sang yesterday, you tell." Then again blank. He started sweating. He got scared. What's happening? Then Swami told, "Okay, tell one bhajan that you know.
Okay.
Any bhajan that you know."
Okay.
The easy question.
Okay.
And this boy started sweating and got scared. Oh my God, what? I lost my memory or something like that.
Okay.
Then Swami said, so that day you thought I forgot the bhajan, is it? Swami told. And Swami told, see Ra, if I forget something, this entire universe will come to a standstill. The entire universe will stop functioning. So you thought that day, you thought I forgot the bhajan. And Swami patted on his head. And as soon as Swami patted on his head, everything he recollected. All the bhajans he recollected. So this was one incident where Swami, you know, punctured the ego of that boy.
See, when you are doing something, if we have that feeling of humility, even after doing a very great thing, the act becomes very sacred.
Yeah.
So
doership should not be there.
Yes, even if it is, the doership is a second aspect. First of all, the pride of doing the thing is the, you getting attached to that, to what you did.
Yeah.
Was a more dangerous thing. When you feel that you have done it, then God is always ready to teach you the lesson.
In fact, you had a personal example, right?
Oh, yes. Actually, now when we are talking about this attachment, the concept of that Atmabhimana and Dehabhimana comes. So, year ago, as you were asking me to narrate an personal incident, I remember, see, when you are in the process of learning with Swami, Swami is such a guru, he can easily take you to task in all measures. But thing is, he always keeps in mind not to hurt the Atmabhimana of yours, and at the same time, he destroys the hankara.
Yeah, correct. Many times when Swami teaches these lessons subtly to boys,
very subtly,
he makes sure that it's only that boy understands.
Yes.
Right? Others don't get it.
Yes.
Because the boy will be embarrassed.
So this was one such occasion, and this happened in my second year undergraduation. One of the days, Sunday morning, Swami indicated our warden sir that all the students should come for the Purnachandra session. Purnachandra session used to happen with Swami's divine permission. Only the students and some of the important people used to assemble in Purnachandra, and Swami used to have a private audience with them.
Okay, just like how Tri-session in Vrindavan.
Yes. So, on this day, so warden sir had asked me, see, Swami is having a Purnachandra session. We have to put up some cultural programs in front of Swami. So, you prepare for a dance. So, then I was very happy, and previously Swami told me that, I will give you an opportunity to dance and all.
And by then you were already a good accomplished dancer, right?
Yes, with Swami's grace, I didn't know that, that with Swami's grace only I had learnt dance.
Till then you didn't know.
Yes, till then I didn't know. Okay. Now Swami is going to reveal to me. Then what happened, I prepared for item called Dashavataram. And then I was in full costume. I came to Purnachandra Auditorium. Swami was sitting right in front of the D in Purnachandra Auditorium. And he was facing the audience. And all the students were assembled just in front of Swami. It was a very small gathering because none of the devotees were inside. So then there were some cultural programs which happened. Some students spoke, some students sang. Swami was sitting on a revolving chair. Okay. And then I was asked by the warden sir to just wait until Swami gives an indication. Only if time permits you can perform, they had told me. So I was waiting there for an opportunity. Then one of my room leaders was sitting beside me, and he told, see, now all the programs are over, prasadam is being distributed. Why don't you slowly go in front of Swami and show your face so that he may allow you to dance. So he may grant you permission. So then I took that opportunity, like a small Balakrishna just started crawling in front of Swami. Then I was wearing anklets, so it was making sound. That gal 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 sound was coming. So suddenly, in that pin drop silence, this sound disturbed Swami, and then he just turned towards me. And then I was in full costume. Then Swami's face lit up, and he called me. Then I rushed to him. He asked, EMT Vesham, Swami asked. Swami, dance chestanu. Then he asked, where did you get this dress from? And I told Swami, I got it stitched in my hometown. So then I asked Swami, Swami, can I dance?
Hmm.
Swami told, yeah, me dance chestava.
Hmm. See, are you going to dance?
Yeah, yeah. Are you going to dance? Yes, Swami. Then he looked at the VIPs, looked at the students, and then he told, there was a little gap between students and Swami, where Swami's carpet was there. He pointed towards that place and told, ikkada chestava, akkada chestava.
Hmm.
And he turned towards the Purnachandra stage.
Stage, okay.
And being a very accomplished dancer, yeah, till then, because...
having given many stage performances.
Many stage performances, I was like, yeah man, this is the time and this is the opportunity to just show all my talent.
Correct.
And then I told Swami, I didn't know the importance of Swami's proximity.
Mm.
Then I pointed towards the PC stage.
Stage.
And then told Swami, I'll do there.
Yeah.
And then Swami, in his own beautiful way, mischievous smile, he told, okay, go.
So you had a choice just to do in front of Swami.
Yes.
Or else do a little far.
Little,
the stage.
It was very far.
Yeah. Okay.
Obviously, when Swami is down, the stage is quite far.
My God.
So then I went on to the stage. They started the music. It was Dashavataram. One avataram over, second Kurma avataram, then Varaha avataram.
Your dance.
Dance. Then after the third avataram got over, I felt something irritating in my back. So what happened was, I had put on a little weight after joining Parthi campus.
Mm-hmm.
So the dress was not fitting.
Okay.
And then one by one, the hooks started coming for the dress. My God, my heart was in my mouth actually. I felt scared that if I continue little more, surely people won't see Dashavataram anymore, but Vishwarupam of mine. And then...
dress will get stripped.
Dress will get opened up. Then after the fifth avatar, Swami told stop.
Mm.
And then it gave such a relief to me that, my God, this was a big mistake for me to do. And then Swami called me.
Okay.
And he called and he gave me Padnamaskar. Imagine, at that point of time, I felt my ego was totally punctured.
Mm.
I felt, see, talent is not more important. Performing is not more important. The proximity towards the Lord and the offering which you are doing is more important than what you offer.
Yeah.
The feeling that Swami tells, no, I am Bhava Priya rather than Bhakya Priya.
Correct.
So this was a very good lesson for me.
Oh, it's really nice. In fact, it's as you said, the love that we have for Swami is more important than what the talent we have.
Yes.
Actually, it seems there was once a Kavi Sammelan, and before the students were supposed to perform, but before the students were supposed to perform, few artists from Andhra performed the Kavi Sammelan in Telugu.
Okay.
And they just did a very good job in the poetry, in the language.
Eloquent.
The talent was superb.
Mm.
And after that, boys performed.
Mm.
And it seems somebody asked, I think Swami asked Anil Kumar sir, how was the performance, which you liked?
Mm.
And Anil Kumar sir, since he likes Telugu so much, he said, Swami, the pundits, they performed very well.
Mm.
But Swami was not happy with that.
Mm.
And Swami said, what boys performed was better than the pundits.
The pundits.
Yeah, even though their Telugu was not so good, but they were offering it as a flower to Swami, right?
Yes.
With full feelings of love and gratitude. In fact, talking about this Dehavimanam and Atmavimanam, I would like to tell one more point. It seems once somebody asked Professor Venkatraman sir, sir, what is the difference between solitude and loneliness?
Huh? Okay.
In both the cases, you are
alone.
You are alone.
Yeah.
But there's a very big difference, you know.
Yeah.
Solitude and loneliness.
Okay.
Loneliness is something negative and solitude is something positive. Even though you are alone. So Venkatraman sir very beautifully gave the answer.
Mm.
He said, see, when there is Dehabhimanam, you are alone.
Okay.
That is, when you are attached to body, you are alone.
Yes.
But when you are detached to body and when there is Atmavibhanam, when you are attached to the inner happiness, there is solitude, bliss.
It's an amazing point because, see, solitude, you can be, you can feel it even when you are among a crowd.
Correct, yeah.
But loneliness comes only when you are alone and aloof, away from the society.
Mm.
So that's a very, very amazing point, Raghu. And regarding this attachment, you were talking about when we were discussing about this, talking about a Mercedes-Benz car.
Yeah, in fact, that's what the Swami himself told in one of his discourse.
Mm.
Swami said, see, if you own a Mercedes-Benz car,
mm.
and if it is parked in the parking area of your house, mm. how you will feel? You'll feel very happy, right?
Yeah.
But if the same Mercedes-Benz car is parked
in a neighbor's
house,
yeah.
if that neighbor is owning it and if it is parked in neighbor's parking lot,
mm. then the how same happiness
feel?
Won't be there.
Yeah, same happiness won't be there.
Mm.
Why? Then Swami says, see, the happiness is there within us.
Yes.
But we are not able to feel because we are attached to the Mercedes-Benz car.
Yes.
So it is the attachment which is causing a barrier
to your peace.
To the inner peace.
Yes.
That is there. In fact, Swami also says one analogy.
Mm.
It seems there was one person who was on the river bank.
Mm.
Okay. And the river was in a spate.
Okay.
It was flooded.
Mm.
And one golden plate was just flowing in the river.
Okay.
And this man saw it and he dived into the river and tried to get the golden plate.
Mm.
And he got it. And the river was in full current, full force,
mm.
and both the man and the golden plate were getting washed away.
Okay.
And it came to a point that where the man had to leave the golden plate,
mm.
otherwise he will die.
He will die.
So he left the golden plate and came to the bank,
mm.
and he started crying.
Mm. Oh, I lost the plate.
Yeah. Somebody came and asked him, why you are crying? He told, see, I lost my golden plate.
Mm.
And he narrated the sequence that he saw the golden plate and I went to catch it, but I didn't get it. Then the man said, see, that golden plate was never yours.
Yes, very much.
Mm. why you are crying? You are attached to the golden plate. That's why you are crying.
Mm.
In fact, that's what happens in worldly life also.
Mm.
When man is born, we are born with nothing.
Yeah.
When man dies also, we go with nothing.
Correct.
But we get attached to the possessions, the wealth, the money, the fame, name and fame.
Mm.
And we lose our peace of mind because we in between lose them also, lose the name and fame and wealth.
Actually, Shankaracharya, he very nicely tells that because if the ego comes because of body attachment, then it is equal to going to hell.
Hmm.
And then he gives a very beautiful solution to how to come out of this problem. He tells the slipper example, he tells that, see, the earth is full of stones, pebbles and all that.
Thorns.
Thorns.
Mm.
See, you can't sit and pull out each and every thorn and each and every pebble on the road and clean the entire place. It's an impossible task. So instead, he makes the job very simple. He tells a beautiful solution for this. He tells, put on a chappal.
Yeah.
And protect your feet. For
common sense.
Common sense. So, Swami beautifully tells that this footwear is nothing but the awareness that you are divine and you are not this body. When that sense of feeling comes, that then automatically that detachment comes and you will be able to overcome all the problems in your life and you will be peaceful. You won't be worried about the thorns.
Correct. In fact, when you said that wearing a footwear will solve the problem.
Mm.
There's one more solution for this, for getting the peace of mind. That is getting involved in a noble work.
Yes.
Another noble work.
Mm.
And I would like to share an experience of a devotee.
Mm.
It seems once one Swami's devotee was lost his peace of mind because of some reason.
Okay.
Because of some problem in his family or something.
Mm.
So he wrote a letter to Swami about his problem and he was sitting in front of Swami.
Mm.
And Swami asked for the letter, read the letter.
Mm.
And what Swami did is, Swami rolled the letter and gave it back.
Okay.
And then Swami told, now you straighten the letter.
Okay.
Piece of paper.
Piece of paper.
The letter was written.
Mm.
So, the man, he already was feeling miserable because he lost his peace.
See, even in the divine proximity, he's not able to be peaceful.
Yeah. And he just straightened the letter. But again, it rolled back.
Okay.
And he did it 2-3 times. And
he failed.
He failed. And Swami asked for the letter back.
Mm.
And what Swami did was something very nice. He rolled it in reverse direction.
Opposite direction.
Yeah,
okay.
Opposite direction. And as we know, it became straight.
Straight.
The piece of paper became straight and he gave it back. Then Swami told, See, when you lose your peace of mind or when you have problem in your life, don't think of the same problem again and again too much.
Yes.
Instead of that, get involved in some other noble activity.
Okay.
And do something good to others.
Which counters this problem.
Yeah. Because of that, your problem will become small and small.
Okay.
Not only problem, even if you have some bad qualities, ego, hatred, anger, everything will be reduced and it will eventually vanish.
So, what a beautiful analogy. Then,
Just adding on to this analogy, there's one more analogy of, see, if a white line is drawn on a blackboard.
Okay.
In a chalk. And if you are told, reduce the size of the white line.
Okay.
Without erasing it.
Erasing it.
What do you do?
I don't know. Please tell Raghu.
No, it's just draw another big line next to that white, next to that line.
Okay.
So that it will look small.
Oh.
So it's like the first line is like our problems in life or the bad qualities that we have. And we are told to reduce it. So this one way to get involved in selfless activities and other noble activities because of which this looks small and it eventually vanishes.
Amazingly told, Raghu. And when we are talking about this Dehabhimanam, Swami tells that we should see every person comes to this world with a body, right? But he has to have a feeling that he is just a trustee of that body.
Oh, correct. Yeah.
Otherwise, what happens is you get bound to the body rather than you binding the body. So that's a very tricky thing what makes us go in the wrong direction. What makes us think in the wrong direction.
We should learn the act. We should learn the way to put on things, just like how Swami does, you know.
Yes.
Swami, sometimes he gets very angry with boys, but it's an anger which he puts on himself.
Yes.
Like we have seen situations where Swami shouts, scolds one boy, and immediately turns to another devotee and smiles.
Yes.
Like he is putting on the anger or whatever quality he has got.
See, the natural self is the same.
Yeah, correct.
Only he is, according to the situation you...
Situation, yes. So, we are talking about attachment after ego.
And then, Swami, in his Vahinis, he gives us a very beautiful definition of what exactly this ego is and how we can remove it. He tells, the state of desirelessness is the true real state of egolessness. It's a beautiful example, Raghu.
Yeah.
Because Swami tells very nicely that all our desires should be curbed in order to destroy the ego. So the best way to have no desires is to get rid of our feeling. What I feel is giving is a very important aspect in our life.
Yeah.
Correct.
As it is said, happiness lies in giving.
And
giving
then,
and forgetting. That is a selfless nishkama seva or nishkama selfless service that we say.
Yeah, but what happens is people get so attached to what they do is that they feel that they are doing. And then once you attach yourself to the act what you do, then the problem starts. So Swami is telling that only you cannot escape from doing the action. As in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna tells, Sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam vraja.
Yes.
He tells Arjuna, see Arjuna, you give up all dharmas and surrender to me. I will take care of you completely. So then the problem starts here. People think is sarva karman parityajya mamekam sharanam vraja.
Give up action.
So some people think this in the wrong way.
Yeah.
And then they stop doing action.
It should not be convenient philosophy. We should not say, oh, we have surrendered to Lord, we won't do anything.
We won't do anything. That is a very wrong way.
Yeah.
When you give up all dharmas and surrender to him, I shall liberate you. That's what he tells. So then, what are these dharmas? Those dharmas are giving up pride, which is ahankara, and in positions and mindness, which is mamakara, then only he will, then only you can surrender to the Lord. So Swami very nicely tells, when you do a certain act, when you offer it to God, sarva karma bhagavat prityartham, it becomes very sacred, and the result of the action is not in your hands. See, when you do an act, you are bound to do actions after you have taken this body. So every act has a consequence, right? So, but the consequence is not in your hands. And the time of the consequence is also not in your hands.
When it will
happen, when you face the consequence. It may come next moment, it may come next week, next month. So it is not time bound. So then, when you keep thinking of the consequence,
you lose your peace of mind.
So you forget about the consequence and just act. So this is the way which Swami beautifully...
It's a nice formula that Swami has given. To just forget the actions, forget the fruits, so that we will live in peace. Just like if a student writes an exam, the duty of the student is just to study hard.
Study hard
and write the exam. And don't think about how much marks he will get.
Yes.
Otherwise he won't be able to live in peace till he gets the marks.
Yes, Swami,
till he gets the results.
Swami often tells, people always are worried about their rights rather than their duties. Rights and responsibilities. See, when you feel responsible towards the society or towards your duty, then automatically the feeling of rights won't come in your mind. You'll be very happy with what you are doing.
So as Swami has said, this human body is gifted to us to serve the society.
Yes.
So getting involved in selfless service is one of the ways to have peace of mind.
Yes.
In fact,
rather Swami tells it is the only way to...
Okay.
Yes.
So on this also I would like to share one experience.
Sure.
In fact, in many of the earlier episodes on this Seva segment I have already shared it.
Yes.
But it's worth again and again listening to it and contemplating on it. So what happened was, it seems once there was one man, Bob. His name was Bob. And he was depressed and dejected. And he wanted to commit suicide. He wanted to end his life. Why means? Because he lost his wife. His wife had passed away. And he lost all his possessions, wealth, name and fame, everything. So he was a pauper. He had become a pauper.
Okay.
And he was on streets and he had decided to commit suicide. At that point, someone told him that there is one doctor, Dr. Upadhyay.
Okay.
And Dr. Upadhyay is a famous oncologist. He does a lot of cataract surgeries all over the world.
Okay.
Three cataract surgeries. He is a long-standing devotee of Bhagwan. So someone told Dr. Upadhyay, see, there is one person like this, Bob, please speak to him. And someone told Bob also, see, you speak to that man. Then Bob said, no, okay, I'll speak to him, but I have decided
To end my life.
Okay. Just if you want, I'll just speak to him. So he goes to him very arrogantly. And Dr. Upadhyay, and he tells the doctor, see doctor, I have already decided, you know, whatever you say, I won't listen. Then the doctor says, okay, your life is your life, you go ahead. But I have got a...
offer for you.
I got a request.
Okay.
I want some help from you. So what was the request was, at that time, the country Bosnia was affected by war.
Okay.
So war was going on. And doctor said, see, there is a group of people in Bosnia who are refugees and who are not getting any food or water.
Okay.
They are dying of thirst and hunger. But we, as Sai devotees, have collected truckloads of food materials and relief materials. But the problem is we don't have a driver. Who can drive the truck to that area.
Okay.
Because of the war. All are
they are scared
of,
that they'll die.
Yeah, all are scared of death.
Okay.
Now that you are here and you are decided, your predicament is such that...
you are ready to die.
So I request you to drive the truck to that area. Then Bob says, okay, I will do it. What is there? After all, I'm not scared. So he drives the truck, first truckload of relief material to that area.
Okay.
And when he arrives in that area, everybody is happy, okay?
Huh.
And they say, wow, thank you, sir. You are like God for us. Thank you, thank you.
Hmm.
Because they have got food and lift material.
Huh.
And they lift this Bob and they like take him in the procession.
Hmm.
They celebrate the occasion.
Hmm.
And something happens in Bob. He sees, wow, these people have become so happy because of me.
Mm.
I got this truck. And immediately he feels, no, I should go back and get one more truckload of material.
Okay.
So he goes back and gets one more truckload of material. And everybody is so happy because of him.
Mm.
And now, since he did this act of seva, service selflessly, without any expectation, he did it. So this just transformed him and gave him inner peace,
yes,
which he had lost,
because
of which he had thought of committing suicide and ending his life. But this act of service changed his life, transformed his life, and he became a good human being and he decided to live.
Amazing. Amazing incident, Ago.
Yeah.
Means, as I was telling you previously, that giving up action is not the way.
Yeah, correct.
You cannot, because everything is destined by God. You are the one who just has to act. And Swami wonderfully tells the hands in the society and head in the forest.
Yeah.
That is how you have to lead the life.
So Ganesh, anything more? Or,
so one more is how you get peace and tranquility by doing selfless service. Swami once, what happened during the...
Reward of selfless
reward
service.
What is the reward of selfless service?
That's an amazing experience which one of the sevadas had, which shows the reward of selfless service, as you said. So, this is an experience of a sevadal from the Indian state Orissa. And every year, these sevadas from the state of Orissa, they come to Prashant Nilayam and they take up an activity of doing service which many others usually don't take up. That is the sanitation work inside the ashram.
Okay.
Cleaning the toilets and other washrooms inside the ashram. So on one occasion, it was during the occasion of Swami's birthday, and they were doing this activity, and one group, when they were cleaning this, they found that there was one pit, which was a drainage pit, and it was blocked.
Okay.
And the drainage was overflowing. The waste material, and it was just slush.
Okay.
It was overflowing.
It was creating problem for others.
Yeah, and it was giving a foul smell. Because of the blockage, which the blockage was below the pit.
Okay.
So if the blockage has to be
removed,
somebody has to go inside the pit and remove the block. So the sevadals were there. At that time, there was one sevadal. He just didn't think twice. He just took off his shirt and jumped into that slush of drainage, foul smelling drainage. He controlled his breath, went inside, removed the block, came out, didn't talk to anyone, went to one of the bathrooms and had a wash, had a bath, and came out and wore his shirt and
went
as if nothing happened, he just continued his work. Now, generally those days when sevadals come, after the sevadal duty,
Swami used to give Padnamaskar.
Yeah, Padnamaskar to each and every sevadal. It was a reward, one of the rewards. But here the reward is something very big. It's just unimaginable. So Swami was giving Padnamaskar and this person's turn came and Swami created an emerald ring for him, put it in his finger and Swami told, see, for that one act of selfless service, you won't have any more birth.
Okay.
I bless you with the boon that you won't have any more births.
Oh my God. What a beautiful blessing he got.
Yes. In fact, that is the ultimate aim of human birth, right? To have no more births in future.
Yes.
And Swami just in that instant blessed him with that boon for that one act of selfless service.
Yes. And when you told such selfless service, and in giving lot of happiness is there, Raghu. when Swami completed the water project, Anantapur water project, and he announced it, on the day, all the villagers, they were thanking Swami for giving them water, the elixir of life.
Yeah.
What Swami did was a real lesson to all of us. And this shows why Swami is always blissful, always peaceful and always happy. He told, see, I should be thankful to all of you. Because you gave me an opportunity to serve all of you.
Yeah.
And that is the power of giving.
Yes.
When you give, it feels so nice and the peace in you remains. When there is nothing with you, it's a joy actually.
As it is said, when we serve others, we are actually serving ourselves.
Yes, very
much. It is for our own benefit that we are helping others more than the beneficiaries.
Yeah. So before we close for this session, this topic of Shanti, there are only two important points that we have to remember, Raghu. One is Swami tells when we are doing sadhana, when we are doing service, if it is done with a motive of selflessness, then it becomes sadhana. Otherwise, if we are thinking about the fruits of what we have done, fruit of the action, if we think about the consequence, then it becomes a strategy.
Yeah, if we are doing the act because of some motivation, because of some benefits.
Yes, we keep thinking about that only, and we lose the peace of mind.
Then it doesn't become a sadhana. Yes. Strategy, it becomes all.
It becomes a strategy.
Yeah.
So with this,
with this, dear listeners, so we have covered this flower, the sixth flower. That we should offer at the lotus feet of Lord, that is the Shanti peace, in two episodes. And dear listeners, we hope we have made justice for this.
It's a continuous virtue. Process of removing this ego, and every moment of our lives we have to offer it to the Lord and leave everything to His choice, because He knows what is best for us.
So dear listeners, please send in your feedback, comments, suggestions, anything you have. To us by writing to our email ID, that is listener@radiosai.org. In fact, as we always say, you are also participant in this discussion that we have. So if you have any thoughts on this virtue, that is peace, or any other flowers that we should offer to the Lord, please send in. And any questions also, you please send in. We will try to answer by Swami's grace and blessings. So we will meet next week again on this segment, Seva and Sadhana. And next week we will be taking on the sixth flower, right?
Yeah. Tapas.
Sixth flower that we should offer to Lord, that is tapas, penance. So till then, Sai Ram, and in a while from now, you will be joined by brothers Prem and Arvind for the next much awaited session of Thursday Live, that is Afternoon Satsang. And we'll listen to a small song. Till then, Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.